Welcome to the Public Health Joy Podcast, the safe space for real and honest conversation about what building a public health research career is really like, the challenges, the triumphs, and all the lessons we learn along the way. I'm your host, Dr. Joy, a public health researcher, PhD survivor, and entrepreneur. In today's episode, I'm sharing the story of transforming failure to joy on my PhD journey and how I got over to the other side. This is where research meets relationship, and together we will find our public health joy. Today's chat is a special one because it has been 1 year, one whole year, since I graduated with my PhD. Now, many times people see the outcome, right? They see that you defended the dissertation, that you got the degree. But what people don't often realize is just how much work and pain and sometimes even trauma it took to get to that finish line. So today I want to share with you the story of my PhD journey, and we're going to get deep. I'm going to tell you the good, the bad, and some of the downright ugly truth behind how I got my PhD. And now anybody who knows me knows that I do not like being emotional. But this is one of those times where reflecting on my PhD journey causes me to get vulnerable and even a little bit misty-eyed. I'm not gonna lie. And a big part of that is because I spent over 10 years in grad school. But what a lot of people don't know is that the PhD I received in 2022 was actually my second attempt at a PhD. My first attempt at a PhD, I would have considered one of my greatest failures. See, when I was an undergrad, I was on the track to go to medical school, but I had the opportunity to experience research and I fell in love with it. And so I decided, well, you know what? Maybe research is a better fit for me. I love being analytical. I love the detail. I love the process of exploring and discovering new knowledge. I really think this could be my path. So as a rising senior, trying to just figure out the next step of my life, I decided, you know what? Medical school is not it. And grad school, that's the thing that's going to take me to the next level. But at the time, what I didn't know was that the transition from undergrad to grad school was a whole different beast. In May 2011, I was graduating from my undergrad. I was excited for that next chapter in my life because I was getting ready to start my physiology PhD program that summer. So in preparation, I had been informed by the coordinator of my program, of course, the books and materials that I would need. So I purchased my textbook. They told me to go ahead and read the first few chapters. And thinking about it now from that undergrad perspective, I assumed that, of course, I'll read the chapters, but I know they don't expect me to understand what I read. So I'm just going to do my best and read these chapters. And I know they will tell me what I need to know. They're going to teach me, right? So I'm ready. I'm going in there ready. I was wrong. I cannot tell you how wrong I was. I walked into the office of one of our faculty members that first day, who was an older white male. First day of my PhD program. I'm smiling, I'm excited, I've got my textbook, and this faculty member asked me, oh, did you read the chapters? I say, yes, of course I did. And that faculty member started grilling me, asking me question after question on everything in those chapters. And I did not have an answer. I did not understand the material, and I didn't even know that I was supposed to understand the material. And as I started just processing what was happening in that moment, I started realizing there's a different level of expectation for me. My heart started beating out of my chest. I started sweating, and I started feeling those tears welling up. And I'm sitting there in the office and I'm trying to hold it back because I'm saying, I cannot start crying in this person's office. It is going to make me look weak. It is going to make me look unprofessional. They are going to think all sorts of negative things about me. I don't measure up. And I'm already thinking, I am one of the very few black faces around. I'm a black woman, a young black woman in this predominantly male, white male department. And the pressure was so overwhelming that I could not hold it back. And the tears started rolling. And I remember sitting in that chair in that moment across from this white man, and the look he gave me was, it just felt like in his mind, he was saying, I don't even know why you're here if you can't even do this. And even now, just thinking about that moment, it brings tears to my eyes because I'm thinking about that young black woman who's sitting in that office, not knowing what to expect, and the person on the other side of that desk not showing any compassion, not showing any attempt to understand, but just assuming that I was in the position to move forward with this graduate program and that I knew everything that I needed to know. And how privileged is that mindset and that approach? Especially when you're in that situation where you're in a department or school, in an academic institution, and there's no one who looks like you. There's no one who understands what you've been through. There's no one who understands what you've had to try to overcome, even just to get to this point. And being a young black woman in that position, I have never felt more inferior in my life than in that moment. And that was the moment that set the course for the rest of what I experienced in that PhD program. I knew that day that I had stepped into a world where I did not belong, and it did not feel safe for me, and I did not know how I was going to make it through. Every day of that program, I was suffering in silence. I was drowning, and although there were people around me, they couldn't see me. They couldn't see just how far I was sinking. During my first year in that program, I just remember going to class nearly every day, going to the lab nearly every day, always having my head in the books, always trying to meet the expectation that was set for me, and yet I was always falling short. And yet no one acknowledged the barriers that were set before me, and I was expected to meet the same requirements and to cross the same finish line and the same pace as everyone else. And yet no one took into consideration my mental health and the systemic barriers that were preventing me from making it from one milestone to the next. Throughout this program, I was spending every waking moment just studying, trying to absorb the information, trying to understand the information, and it never got any easier. It only got harder. And while there were several professors and faculty members who offered to help me, who sat with me, who desperately wanted to see me win, they could not empathize with me or understand what I was going through as a black woman surrounded by white faces and privilege and power. And now, looking back at that moment or those moments, I realized that the privilege and power in that environment were insurmountable at that point in my life. I was at a significant disadvantage, and there was no one who could see that or who could have pointed that out or create equitable resources for me in order to help me navigate through those moments. And if I thought there was something off or something going on, and I brought something up, it was just kind of like, oh, that's just the way it is. And not only that, but I was also going through some very personal challenges in my life. In addition to that overwhelming academic pressure, I had suffered the deaths of two close family members, as well as facing some self-esteem and confidence and some body image issues as well. And so I put all the pressure on myself because I thought it was all my fault. I thought that I had gotten myself into this, and there's no way for me to make it out other than to just push through the fire, walk through hell, and get burned until my soul turned into a crisp. I was in a constant state of despair that just seemed like it had no end. By the time I reached the end of that first year, I was struggling to keep my grades up, and I was at risk for being let go from this PhD program. But I had a faculty member who had greatly supported me as best as they could, who said that, you know what, we're going to give you another chance. We're going to allow you to retake your final exam. And as grateful as I was for the opportunity to retake this exam, I don't know that I was really all that excited about it. But I did what I knew how to do. I opened my books, I studied, I reviewed, I implemented all the techniques that I knew of to understand the material. I talked through everything. I got to test day. I walked into a conference room by myself, sat down with my booklet, my paper, my pencil, all that stuff. I took my time. I read each question. And the requirement was that I needed to make an A on this test in order to stay in the PhD program. I got to the last question. I reviewed my answers. I completed the test. And you know what? I felt pretty decent about it. And honestly, I felt better about this exam than any other exam the whole year. But that lingering uncertainty was just unbearable. And probably a few days later, I was called into another faculty member's office, and they were the ones who were set to deliver the results of my test. And they looked at me and they said, "I'm so sorry, but you did not pass the exam, so we're going to have to let you go from the PhD program." And for me, in that moment, that was possibly my greatest failure. But at the same time, an even greater smile came across my face. I felt like I had not smiled in over a year. It was like the clouds opened up, the sun came shining down. I had finally found my escape. And that was the moment I felt pure joy in my life. And this faculty member looked at me pretty puzzled and was like, "You're not sad, you're not upset." And I remember saying, "This is a relief." Because I knew this wasn't my path. This is not where I'm supposed to be. And now, although I did not pass the test and they had to let me go from the PhD program, I did have enough credits to leave with my master's, and they allowed me to stay and finish out whatever remaining courses I needed to obtain my master's of biomedical sciences. Since I knew that I was not going to be in this place anymore with physiology and biomedical sciences, I had to start thinking, what's my next move? Where do I want to be? Where do I want to go next? And I knew that I had the experience of talking to my family members about their bodies and them not understanding what's happening with their bodies. And I had some knowledge where I was able to educate them on their health and wellness from being a part of this program. So I started searching on what field can I go into where I can educate people on their health and wellness. And that's where I found public health education. And that's what led me to the joy that I found in pursuing a career in public health. Now, I attended another university to work towards my Master of Public Health degree. And I remember saying, okay, yeah, this is it. Like, this is where I need to be. I discovered a totally different path to research. I remember discovering qualitative research for the very first time in my public health program. And research just finally felt right. Like, the path finally felt good. And I said, you know what? This is it. This is going to be my final degree. I got the Master's of Public Health. I am good to go. Like, whoo, that was a wild ride, but I got it. I got it now. Okay, cool. But I had a public health professor who came to me and said, after class one day, actually, and said, you know what, Joy? I think you need to go get your PhD. I said, no, ma'am. I'm not doing that again. Okay. I've had enough of that. I have been traumatized. I am not doing that. That is not in the future. That is not in my cards. That is not in my destiny, whatever you want to call it. That is not for me. Okay. Been there, done that. And she looked at me and she said, Joy, you are brilliant. You can do so much, and a PhD would put you where you need to be for your career. And just think about all the wonderful ways that you can serve your community. And I said, you know what? In my mind now, I didn't say this out loud. She don't know my story. She don't know what I've been through. She don't know what she's talking about, because absolutely not. We're not doing that. We're not putting ourselves through that again. But the more I thought about it, the more I prayed on it, the more I slept on it, the more I meditated on those words of life she was speaking into me, I started thinking, well, you know what? I do love research. And if I want to advance my research career, maybe a PhD is the right move. But I don't know. I'm real hesitant about it, real cautious. But I looked at my timeline, I looked at my career goals, and after I graduated with my Master of Public Health degree, I also realized that my GRE scores were about to expire. And that was the real deal. I said, if I don't go for this PhD now, I'm never going to do it, because I am not taking the GRE again. So I made the decision that I was going to pursue a PhD for the second time. But trust me, I had a better idea of what I was getting myself into. So I put up all the shields, all the armor. I was protecting myself at all costs. And I said, I will not allow myself to be put in the same position as I was the last time. But I went ahead and I started searching for PhD programs. And I found a PhD program that would allow me the flexibility to pursue the career that I wanted, to learn the information that I wanted, to provide the opportunities that I wanted. And I decided to apply and I got in. I started my PhD program, the second one, and the difference from the first PhD program was undeniable. I learned real quick that all PhD programs are not created equal. In my second PhD program, I felt supported. I felt like I was in the right place. I felt like I had the confidence that I could do this, even if there were barriers in place. And I felt like I finally had the right environment and the right support system that would allow me to make it to the finish line this time, even if there were some failures along the way. And my second PhD program was actually a much more positive experience. However, there were challenges that I faced that I didn't know how I was going to make it through again. After the first year of my second PhD program, I started noticing that there was a little bump in the middle of my forehead. And I really didn't think anything about it at first. I figured, you know, it's probably a mosquito bite or something. But that little spot in the middle of my forehead never really went away. And then I started noticing other spots on my face, on my neck, on my back. And these spots started growing. They were turning red, and it seemed to get worse when I would go outside, anytime I'd walk out the door. About 6 months after that first spot popped up, I finally went to the doctor. The doctor took one look at me and said, "Well, it looks like you might have lupus." I said, "Wait, what?" He just matter-of-factly said, "You know, we'll do a biopsy to check." I remember just trying to hold myself together while they cut a little piece of my skin off my back and said, "We'll have the results in a couple of days." Walking out of that doctor's office, I felt the tears just ready to burst. And sitting in the car after that biopsy, I was by myself and I was bawling because I didn't know what was coming next. I felt like my body had failed me, and it was something that I could not control. I didn't know what to do next. I didn't know if this was a life or death situation. And I had finally felt like I was in a place where I was getting the hang of this PhD program, and now I have to deal with this. So I got the call a few days later, and the results came back positive. I had discoid lupus, a chronic autoimmune condition where my body was attacking my largest organ, my skin. Suddenly, I had to pivot and I had to learn how to live my life in a much different way than I had planned. But little did I know, being diagnosed with lupus actually made me a better researcher. Through my diagnosis, I've been able to learn more about lupus research and how the body is affected and different ways lupus can affect people physically, mentally, and emotionally. Living with lupus has taught me the importance of patient-centered research. And for me, I'm on both sides. I'm a patient and a researcher. So in my work, I strive to prioritize the needs and experiences of patients and communities to ensure that our work is meaningful and relevant to those lived experiences. I've been able to find support in other people who have lupus or care for others with lupus, and having people around me who care really makes a difference. I've become more passionate about advocating for patients and increasing awareness about lupus and other chronic illnesses. And managing my own lupus has taught me about the importance of self-care and taking care of my own health. But lupus was only the first of many challenges that continued on this PhD journey. Let's fast forward to the first week of March 2020. You could probably already tell where this is going, but I had finally learned to manage my lupus diagnosis. I felt healthy and happy. I had gotten to the point where I was ready to propose for my dissertation, had gotten through all my coursework. I had written my first three chapters. I loved the direction that I was going. My committee members were all on board. I was set up in the room with the projector. All my committee members had shown up. I had given a wonderful presentation, gave the oral defense of my proposal. My committee members all approved. They said, "Great, you can move forward." And then we all know what happened next. COVID-19. We could have never expected what was going to happen with COVID. And I definitely could not have expected how or anticipated how COVID would have impacted my PhD journey. But the pandemic caused me to spend a year and a half stalled on my dissertation. We were on lockdown. Everything was in chaos. I said, "You know what? This whole world is failing. And this whole dissertation feels like a failure too. All of these things are outside of my control. I feel like I'm drowning again. And nobody can hear me scream because I don't know what's happening and I don't know how I'm going to get out of this." But the reality was that I had come too far to give up. So I decided, you know what? I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do this dissertation in the same way that I had planned. But come hell or high water, I was going to figure this thing out, and I am getting to the other side. I know I must have changed my dissertation plans about 4 or 5 times, just trying to find something that would work amidst the chaos. But it always seemed like nothing was going to work. So I took a little bit of a break and I said, you know what? Let me figure out my life, what I want my life to look like, because I don't know when or how this PhD thing is going to happen. So I started thinking, you know what? What would it look like for me to serve in the best way I know how and to just start my own business? What would starting my own consulting business look like? If I can't depend on anything else that's around me, what would it look like? I mean, it can't be that much of a more of a failure than what I've already experienced. So what do I have to lose? So I started researching, I started educating myself on how do I start a business? How do I get this thing going? And within a couple of months, I had a fully operational business, very small, but fully operational, that I was ready to start and grow. And if it had not been for COVID and having that time to process and think about my journey, I might not would have my business today. And my business is one of the greatest joys in my life right now, being a public health research consultant. I love waking up every morning to work and serve communities through public health research, and I made it through the fire. I made it through the failure. And eventually, I was able to create a dissertation plan that worked. And in May of 2022, I walked across the stage and was hooded as Dr. Joy Washington. See, I grew up in Mississippi, in the South. And if you don't know anything about the South, church is everything to us. I grew up as a Christian, Southern Baptist in the Black church. And so I had a pastor growing up who would always say, failure is not final. And while I didn't understand what that meant then, I totally understand what that means now. And a lot of times, our greatest failure can lead us to our greatest joy. The failure is not the end. Sometimes the failure is not even our fault. But sometimes the failure can feel so overwhelming that it seems like there's no possible way to survive it. But when we start thinking about how our failures are necessary to lead us to our joy, we can begin to appreciate them in a different light. The failures are a season, not a finality. There's this gospel song by Mahalia Jackson, and it's called How I Got Over. And in the song, she sings, "How did I make it over? Tell me how I made it over, Lord. Had to cry the midnight hour. You know, my soul looks back and wonder how I made it over. And I want to thank him for how he brought me. And I want to thank God for how he taught me. Oh, thank my God how he kept me. I'm gonna thank him because he never left me." As a Black woman, the journey to getting my PhD has been unpredictable, to say the least. I felt everything from shame, embarrassment, depression, anxiety, hurt, and everything in between. All while trying to make this one educational achievement that is supposed to set me up for life. Well, guess what I learned? A PhD alone doesn't set you up for anything. The things I have experienced impacted my physical, my mental, social, spiritual, and financial health. And in addition to just dealing with the social and environmental factors that impact me as a Black woman and a lupus patient trying to navigate the health and wellness, racism, injustice, disparities, inequities, and just trying to survive, it's exhausting. So many days I just wanted to give up. But something in me knew that I couldn't. I often thought about my ancestors, just how much they sacrificed for me to have this moment, to be here in this moment. And I knew that no matter what, that if I gave up on me, that that would mean giving up on them. And my spirit just wouldn't allow me to do that. So I cried a whole lot of tears on my PhD journey. And now looking back, I wonder sometimes how I made it over. But my faith carried me through those failures, and my loved ones carried me through those failures, and my resilience carried me through those failures. And my failures taught me lessons that I will never forget. So if you're still listening, I want you to know this. No matter what your faith or spirituality is, you are welcome in this space. All are welcome in this space. I'm just here to share my story, my testimony, and my song. But if you don't get anything else from this chat, remember this. Don't give up on yourself, because just when you think it's all over, your greatest failure can be transformed to your greatest joy. I am so grateful for this time we got to spend together. If you enjoyed this episode, I need you to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. For more information on transforming public health research into positive community impact, visit www.joywashington.com. This is where research meets relationship, and I'll see you next time on the Public Health Joy Podcast.